B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Welcome to another week of Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network and all over your social media, as well as YouTube at Nerd Radio 101. Al.
Yes.
Where are we in Boston?
Hey, you remembered. Rock929rocks.com.
And then, James, we are, of course, Wednesday afternoons live on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
Absolutely. Which mic is you, James? Is it number five?
I am five.
There you go. Yeah,
I'm five on the video, so I must be five on the board.
Yeah, let me give you a little more volume there.
Thanks.
I didn't want to...
A little more James.
A little more James.
A little more Jam. I'll give you the full James.
The full James experience.
Well, now when there's a lady in the room, I won't.
I've already seen partials of that, if you remember.
Oh, how can I forget?
Yeah.
Right.
We've all seen partials of James.
I mean, it's true, but I'm the one that had to witness him putting fries in his junk.
Yeah,
so.
She's seen him maybe a little bit more. This is awkward with Chuck sitting right here. You know?
I mean,
Cody watched me. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've worked here for a couple of years, so I've seen plenty of you as well. So.
That's true. But have you seen me with fries in my pants?
I have not.
No. I know Erica is upset about the double standard because she would like to not have to wear pants.
For sure.
In the office.
I wouldn't be upset.
You apparently
I don't care.
Are the only one allowed to do that.
Well, here's the thing is... I do get a talking to every now and then. That's why the man thong isn't as prevalent as it used to be in the past, because there's some issues with a semi-nude man running around.
Maybe some salespeople that were new to the building that were like, what is happening?
Yes.
Not okay with this.
And the addition to the praise network here within the building is really putting a damper.
Yeah. That would probably stop the schlong showing.
Yes.
There may be a laying on of hands just to try and exercise whatever demons make you run around with no
I wouldn't mind participating in an exorcism just to see what comes out, you know?
All right.
Maybe I'm like just a big old like satanic zit that needs to get popped.
We're going to need a lot of praise down in James's office.
Yes.
James is full of ghosts.
I imagine that James would get that green ghost that comes out in Ghostbusters.
In Ghostbusters, Slimer.
That'd be sweet. From your chest or something.
I think it's going to come right out my butt.
Oh, that, even better.
Especially I'm hearing some news about some split pea soup going around the building.
That's right.
Yeah, well.
So I want to get this goddamn podcast moving so I can eat this soup.
Right.
He asked for cyanide. I only had soup.
I wish I'd have seen that. We could have given him the best of both worlds. I could have put cyanide in the soup
while
we brought it in here.
I was fresh out.
Yeah, so you may have heard a female voice in the last couple of minutes. That's my wife, acronym Amy Cooper. I'm going to say it that way every time.
My wife.
She is joining us for this week's podcast because she heard that Al was feeling a little under the weather, so she wanted to take some of the job off of you for you.
So perfect.
So you didn't have to say as much if you didn't feel up to it.
Cool.
So he's only going to give one word answers the rest of the time.
Correct.
Al Beck, the man of many words.
So this weekend, myself and Acronym went to UMACon, had a fantastic time. In fact, for podcast listeners, this episode is going to feature an interview with Yuri Lowenthal, who played Peter Parker in the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game, which I was super pumped to talk to him and his wife, who also played the cop Yuri in the Spider-Man PS4 game.
So his name is Yuri.
His name
is
Yuri.
And his wife played a character named Yuri.
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, very very odd set of circumstances there, but very fun conversation.
It's not a very common name either.
It really
isn't.
You know
Yuri?
Yeah.
Yuri on ice.
Well, I was going to say, not unless you're Japanese anime, then it's everywhere.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Anime, I don't know much about that.
But we saw a whole bunch of awesome cosplay, which you can check out on our Instagram page at Nerd Radio 101. And got to see on Sunday we went to a panel with the guy who voiced Handsome Jack from Borderlands.
It was cool.
Him and Karen Strange, and I don't remember the third guy's name, but he voices.
Is he as handsome as the character claims to be?
He's pretty handsome.
He was pretty dashing. He was a silver fox.
Yeah. And but it was very, their sense of humor shines through from the game into that panel as they did a Q&A session, and it was very fun. All in all, UMACon always a great time, and this year no different. We had a good time. Also, Mark Cooper was playing on Friday. I did not get to see it, but Nate did, and he said it was a fantastic time. And I did get to sit down with Mark for a couple minutes and talk to him, but that's not on this week's episode.
Yeah, I saw he made the Metro Times.
He did.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's very excited to be in the Metro Times.
I like he joined us a few weeks ago on Nerd Radio, so he'd always go back in the podcast feed if you missed it.
Yep.
And give it a listen.
I like to think that all this fame that he's getting now is all because he was with us on Nerd Radio a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
Totally.
So while YumaCon was going on this weekend, another convention was happening, and that was BlizzCon. And that's the Activision Blizzard convention where they will have their big tournaments for, you know, Overwatch or Hearthstone. They announce anything World of Warcraft or Diablo or Overwatch related and stuff like that. And in order to kind of offset all the bad press that they've gotten in the last month or so, they announced Overwatch 2, Diablo 4, and a new expansion for World of Warcraft, all of which do not have release dates. They just wanted to let you know they're on their way.
Sure.
Because they need people to talk about them in a positive light,
I guess.
They
got a page out of my book. I'm always talking about all these videos I'm going to do, all these funny things, all these gags I'm going to do. And then what do I do? And you just end up smoking weed and sitting on the couch watching WWE every time.
Go home and do some smoking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested, especially in Overwatch 2, because they're saying there's going to be a player versus environment specific mode. Instead of, you know, I mentioned last week that with the Halloween event, there's a player versus environment. That's my favorite way to play Overwatch because
like going against the actual people because everybody's so much better than you. I know how that goes.
Right. So I'm very interested in seeing what that is. But one of the things that I thought was really cool about it that they announced is that you do not have to buy Overwatch 2 in order to continue to play Overwatch against people who have Overwatch 2. Like any content, any new characters or maps or anything that they add with Overwatch 2 will be back-ended to Overwatch.
That's very interesting. Like, how are they going to... Like, what kind of new stuff is actually going to be involved with Overwatch 2?
Like,
is
the incentive. What I want to know. Why buy it then? Yeah,
I think specifically for that player versus environment experience. That will be specifically linked to Overwatch 2.
So do you think it's going to be like a big campaign?
Yeah.
Are they going to have like a big campaign version of the game, but they'll still have...
Something like you know, Borderlands or something like that, where you can play levels of stuff or whatever.
I wonder if they'll add other characters, too.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They'll continue to add new characters. There'll be new skins for the, you know, the Overwatch characters that will be in the sequel. Will have new skins that you can get, but all of that stuff will still be available in Overwatch.
They already have a ton of characters in that game.
They do.
I feel like when I go to play that, I'm like, am I playing Overwatch or am I playing that Marvel versus Capcom versus, you know, like there's so many options. Well, I guess even Smash Brothers has a ton.
I was going to say, you're playing Super Smash Brothers, like 100 frigging characters. Yeah. We've had that game for, what, like 9 months? Still haven't unlocked anything. We were playing it over the weekend while we were at YumaCon and unlocked two new characters.
Mm-hmm. I just keep playing Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is when Banjo-Kazooie became like the downloadable content, that's the only character she plays now.
I sometimes play Kirby.
When you get sick of getting beat up?
Yeah, or Wario, because he farts.
Yeah, Wario is funny.
And he throws his motorcycle, so those are my two favorite parts.
Right.
So he farts and has a temper tantrum. He could be me.
True.
I guess that makes sense.
Right.
Al's like Bumblebee. He's not going to talk anymore.
Yeah, he's just going to talk and drops.
Drop and talk.
All right, so here's some news I know is going to make James very happy. Terminator Dark Fate came out this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Apparently didn't do well.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Debuted with according to Variety, a dismal $29 million in North America and $102 million overseas. Apparently it cost $185 million to produce.
Uh-oh.
Along with $180 million in global marketing and distribution fees. So they're at a deficit as of week one right now. Maybe it was a good idea to call this one Dark Fate.
Well, maybe you don't put Linda Hamilton saying "I'll be back" in the trailer and save that as a
that for the movie,
little nugget in the movie,
right?
Because it's probably to me probably the biggest moment when you hear her say that, similar to your Captain America moment in you know,
in the Endgame.
You know, when he says "Avengers Assemble," I feel like you just totally ruined a golden moment of the film.
How amazing would it have been too if they would not have let you know Arnold was in this movie until you were in the theater?
That actually would have been great.
That would have been amazing.
But I think they would have needed that in order to get people to actually go watch it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you do a Terminator movie without Arnold, you know, the one with Christian Bale.
Well, yeah, they have done quite a few. So, if you would have not let people know he was in there, then it'd be like, oh, another one of those Terminator movies with no Arnold Schwarzenegger, whatever kind of thing. So that makes sense. It just reminds me of like when Bill Murray's in the middle of Zombieland.
That was awesome.
Yeah, because that was a big surprise. They didn't.
Right.
Nobody knew going into Zombieland that Bill Murray was going to be in there.
He's going to be in the second one, though.
Yeah.
They did show that in the trailer.
But I think that only happened because I think the people that were putting the movie on couldn't get a hold of him. They wanted him in there. They wanted him involved.
Right.
But then Woody Harrelson had to reach out to him and be like, hey, You know, because I believe that they're friends. They have a relationship, obviously, probably from Kingpin and other things in the past that they've worked
on. They've done quite a few movies together.
Yeah, so I think Woody, I could be wrong. People can let me know how wrong I am if you want.
But, yeah, exactly. If you want to check in on the Twitch stream or just hit us up on social media.
Yeah, but I believe that's how they got Bill Murray to be in that movie.
Huh. Well, that would make sense.
That's a little bit different, too, though. I mean, Arnold's in The Terminator. That's a big selling point.
That's true. Yeah, Bill Murray being in Zombieland.
It's a great surprise, but that exactly kind of goes back to my whole thing about why I don't watch trailers. Because if I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go see the new Terminator movie, and I don't watch the trailer, I get the surprise that he's there. But no, they had to have put that out there.
Right. In other movie news, Deadpool 3 may already be in production.
All right.
They're saying that Disney has filed a new shell company under the name Finger Gun Productions. So that may be what's that may be them secretly. Yeah, whenever they come out with movies, they always give them a title that's not the title of the movie, kind of thing.
Is Finger Gun the fake title?
That's what I'm leading. This is implied in this particular story on Comic Book Resources is that Finger Gun Productions LLC may be like the company that's putting together Deadpool 3.
Okay.
So I don't know what they would possibly have titled the movie.
I guess because I'm trying to think if there's some sort of a correlation to finger guns, Deadpool.
Yeah, well, he does use guns. In there. He does shoot people in the face.
Yeah, but he's like, bang, bang, like he was a Cactus Jack, you know, bioflick.
Right.
It would make sense.
Right, like why would they select that name, you mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like Maximum Effort Productions or something like that, which was a line that he, you know, a recurring line.
In other news, Ant-Man 3 will be directed by the same person who directed Ant-Man 2 and the first Ant-Man. Peyton Reed is coming back to direct to complete his Ant-Man trilogy.
All right.
How cool is that going to be, though? Like, it's almost like you're off in your own little corner, and people just like, just make another one of these. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And everything works, and then they get to reap the benefits by, you know, pulling Paul Rudd into Avengers movies when they want to.
And then you're like, can we even make an Ant-Man 4? How about 5?
Right.
You guys thinking about 6? We'll do a whole other trilogy.
Can we do more of these?
Yeah. I mean, look at how many comics that came out.
It's not like Paul Rudd ages.
Yeah, Paul Rudd
doesn't. That's right.
Paul Rudd's going to look the same no matter how long we make these Ant-Man movies. So it's all right. It's, you know, it's a little bit like the way Nerd Radio works. They just leave us in our own little corner here to create content.
We definitely age, though.
That's true. Absolutely.
I age about 3 years for every hour I live.
On that note...
Very depressing, Al.
Let's take a short...
It's supposed to be a joke, that's like, but it bombed, and then everyone else got sad.
The most messed up version of Benjamin Button ever.
What was that Robin Williams movie where he was a 10-year-old...
Jack? That's actually a good movie.
On that note, let's take a short break. I'm going to pull Erica in here because the last 7 days of WWE specifically, much less pro wrestling, has been insane.
Yes. You get Erica. I got to go do therapy, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be back with some more Nerd Radio.
Do you need a hug, Al?
Don't hug him. He's sick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
All right, we're back with some more Nerd Radio here, wherever you get in your podcast, as well as on the podcast page at WRIF.com. We're in Boston.
Rock929rocks.com.
And every, almost a Thursday, every Wednesday
today
afternoon.
Is Wednesday.
Every Wednesday afternoon, we're on Twitch, Checkpoint XP's Twitch.
Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
Thank you very much, guys. Al Beck and James joining me this week, and we're going to talk about some pro wrestling and Squared Circle Round Table time. So we've got a full table this week. My wife, Amy Acronym Cooper, is here. She's never coming on the show again. She's so tired of hearing me do that.
I popped for real on that one.
You did.
That was real.
And, of course, Erica Banis. Who works here in the digital posting stories on the website, also with us.
Is that what's on your card? The official
posting stories department?
Posting stories on the website.
I mean, yeah. I like her Twitter bio the best. I'm basically a Renaissance woman. It's true.
Right.
It's very true.
So the reason we wanted to talk about wrestling specifically today is because the last 7 days or so of wrestling have been insane. Let's start with last Wednesday. Last Wednesday was the, of course, it was NXT and AEW. And AEW did a specific Halloween episode of All Elite Wrestling.
I didn't even watch it.
You didn't get a chance to see it?
No, I was watching
it. Because it was pretty fun. NXT. They had a crossover sponsorship with Rick and Morty. So
that's where all the Rick and Morty stuff was coming from. I was like, cool. Yeah. I'm glad to see that they partnered up with a cool kick-ass cartoon, but I didn't know.
I think,
was it that Orange Julius guy came in?
Yeah.
Orange Julius.
Orange Julius.
I know. That Orange Julius guy.
Hey, we're plugging Almond Joy. I'm going to plug Dairy Queen, okay? Orange Julius rolled in with the Rick and Morty wig on.
And I'm going to start watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Comes with snacks.
Orange Julius? Jesus. Yeah, Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends came out dressed as Rick and Morty, which was extremely fun. Kenny Omega was had an entirely specialized entrance done by the creator of Undertale, Toby Fox, and came out as a character from Undertale. I believe it was Sans. Yeah, he came out dressed as Sans in his entrance. There were a couple more cool Halloween things that were going on in that particular episode, but it was fun. Is, you know, kind of fun wrestling. And NXT on the other channel was rocking it. They had some fantastic matches. The last time I think we talked, Erica, we talked about how it's the Wednesday Night Wars now.
Yes.
And I think this was probably the first weekend that it truly felt like both shows were must-see television.
I'd agree, definitely. I mean, once again, I watch AEW first.
Right.
Because you have to give them the ratings to make sure that WWE stays, like, kind of on their toes.
Right.
I'm firmly a believer of you have to support the other product or else the WWE is just going to get lazy, which we have seen happen often.
Yes. So that was Wednesday. Thursday was when the WWE went over to Saudi Arabia for the second Crown Jewel event. And of course, there's been a lot of political backlash as far as wrestling fans are concerned because the Saudi Arabian government does a lot of unscrupulous things, but are willing to pay Vince McMahon millions and millions of dollars to bring his wrestlers over there and do an event. The card was pretty stacked. You had Brock Lesnar facing off against another UFC fighter whose name escapes me at the moment.
Which shows how just truly important it really was.
Velasquez? Fair enough.
Kane Velasquez.
Kane Velasquez. Thank you very much, guys. Also, we had Braun Strowman facing off against the boxer, another name that escapes me, because I don't watch sports. It's Tyson something. Well, Mike Tyson.
Entertainment.
Right.
Thanks.
Braun Strowman.
If it was Mike Tyson.
It was not Mike Tyson. They had a big tag team, a battle royal, and the one thing that could have gotten me to watch, they actually...
Yo, I guess that makes sense.
I did not do that on purpose.
Thank you very much.
I don't know what happened.
The one thing that could have happened, they had The Fiend facing off in a rematch against Seth Rollins, and The Fiend won. The Fiend Bray Wyatt is the Universal Champion.
He deserves that. Mm-hmm.
I agree, for sure. But like I said, it's the one. It was the one.
God.
Yeah, we
tell us how you feel about that, Al.
What? I'm sorry. I'm trying to stay in this thing.
No, it's all good.
Oh, I ate all my candy. I wish I had something to do right now.
Jesus.
So that was
eat
the...
your soup.
Oh yeah.
Eat your cold soup.
That was the event itself. The more interesting part is the rumored innuendo of what went on around Crown Jewel. The stories that have come out of that day is that apparently Vince McMahon got in an argument with somebody in the Saudi royal family.
Yeah, one of the princes or whatever over
one
cash.
One of the rumors is that they have not been paid for
they
the
still
last
owe,
time they were there.
Gotta pay the piper.
It's almost as if he should have never done business with the Saudi royal family.
Yeah.
You would imagine that's, I think that's what a lot of people felt when they, you know, heard about that. As the story goes, and I say story because I wasn't there, so I don't know. I'm going, you know, on like Dave Meltzer, who's one of those guys that reports on wrestling for a living. As the story goes, Vince McMahon didn't air the feed live for Saudi TV. He had it like on a 40-minute delay or something.
And well, to add on top of that, what's also sort of being reported right now, allegedly the delay was in place so that the women's match could be cut
from the Saudi feed.
Oh, okay.
Because they, you know, the Saudi Arabia doesn't enjoy women as a people and don't think of them as real people.
Right.
So when the women's match was announced, mind you, like, Natalia and Lacey Evans were in, like, were fully covered up and also wearing giant poncho-esque t-shirts over their gear to, you know, basically hide their form altogether.
Sure. Then you have Seth Rollins freaking out on Twitter.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that. So he airs the feed a little bit late, and after the event is over, Vince gets on a private plane with about 10 or 20 of, you know, like, the most important people, I guess.
The primary players.
Like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and, you know, Brock Lesnar. They get on their plane and leave. The rest of the wrestlers go to get on their plane, and the plane is delayed because of mechanical issues.
With the loosest of air quotes.
Right. And so the rest of the roster has to stay an extra day while the mechanical issues are worked out. And some of them took to Twitter, not to put any actual here's what's going on or something like that, but that they were very uncomfortable by this entire situation. And that led to Friday Night SmackDown, where most of the people who were supposed to be on Friday Night SmackDown are either in the air on their way back to the U.S. or are still there in Saudi Arabia. And they had to figure out, what are we going to do? So they called up half of NXT to take over Friday Night SmackDown ahead of this year's Survivor Series, where NXT is going to face Raw and SmackDown in a bunch of triple threat matches. And it might have been the best episode of SmackDown in forever.
Yeah, it was.
Because every single segment was like, you never knew what was going to happen. And NXT guys could just show up and start beating up the people who were wrestling.
And they did. And yeah. It was great.
It was.
Well, a thing like that, too. I mean, even the storyline is completely improvised because anything they had planned for that night is out the
window. Yeah, they just got to toss it out the window.
So,
but it was absolutely fantastic, fun to watch. I feel bad for all the people that were there that are like in 205 Live or some of the guys that are like lower card guys that maybe didn't go to Saudi Arabia. And they're like, we're right here. We're right in catering. And all the people that eat up all the TV time are not here. Why? We could be on TV this week, please. But it was a great episode of SmackDown. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. What do you think of this whole the Saudi Arabia, the stories coming out of it, them having to do SmackDown without most of their roster? What do you think, Erica?
Well, I mean, the deal, first of all, they extended the deal. Even after all of this drama, WWE released a press release saying that they have now extended their relationship with Saudi Arabia through, I think, 2027.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what the show structure is going to be, but the fact that there's been so much controversy about this and they're doubling down on the relationship is going to be just an absolute cluster to watch.
Yeah.
Just because it's every show, there's been some sort of controversy around every show. And this latest show, Crown Jewel, has been a nightmare. It's like, what the hell is going to happen next? Look. I know we've touched on this before. You know, I'm not going to stop anyone from making money. However, there has to be a line. There has to be a line somewhere because this is a nightmare. Like, and you see probably one of the most damning things on Twitter. You had Carl Anderson's hot Asian wife in, like, her husband's comments going, like, please get your ass home safe. We have 4 young boys to raise.
Do they have 4?
And, like, yeah, they have 4 kids.
Okay. And they all look like they're all within like 1 year of each other.
Oh, yeah. Like,
he cranks out another kid every year.
It's I would love to know what the birth control situation is in that house because
it's non-existent.
They are the most fertile couple ever. Like, that sperm and that uterus are just cranking them out.
It's like Greta Van Fleet albums.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect title right there for the episode.
What's that?
Sperm in that universe just cranking them out.
Well, and it'll be interesting, too, because you've already seen, like, right when they started going over to Saudi Arabia, Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn, most notably, were like, well, we're not going. And it's like when they used to do Tribute to the Troops. And they
didn't want Sammy, yeah. Remember? That came out after the fact.
Because of his own nationality.
Lineage, yeah.
He was not allowed to go over there anyways. But it was kind of like when they used to Tribute to the Troops, and they were like, look, you can opt out. And I wonder how much of that is going on. But the thing that'll be interesting is out of all the people who went this time, how many of them are going to opt out the next time it's time to go over?
That's
going to
be the interesting part to right. see how it shakes out next year. I'm surprised that, because that was going to be my next question, that the statement that you just mentioned, that they are extending their relationship there. Because mm-hmm. keeping anything political out of it, like or views on the culture or whatever, when you have that mysterious sort of delaying people where you're kind of, not detaining them, but you're detaining them.
Yeah, right.
In your country. Are. At that point, you feel like the WWE has got to look at, like, well, the safety of our employees is first.
Right.
You would hope.
Well, they don't even get them insurance, so I don't think they care sure. about their safety well, at this yeah. point.
But
The money yeah, is what they're looking at.
The
money.
That's the thing that's so troubling to me on yes. this whole thing. The fact that, you know, to me it's like, maybe it was actual. Let's just play that line of it that there was actual mechanical issues with the planes, and that's right. the whole reason why it was talking about. If there's a chance, why would you risk it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue I have.
Well, and you throw down then the steps of, like, you have some of the people that were on the plane freaking out. You have some of the people that were spouses of the people on the plane, or like people like Carmella going like, get home safe type deal,
right,
to Corey. But then you have the flip side of it. So you have AJ Styles pretending everything's okay. You have Carl Anderson pretending everything's not okay. Or not pretending, but maybe right. being more realistic.
He was being very facetious. I think he said something along the lines of, like, no, you know, I'd go back. You know, I'd like a second pool.
Yeah, like something ridiculous yeah. like that. Yeah. But I just look at it and I'm like, the stories aren't lining up. And then you've got, like I said, it's Seth Rollins wigging out on Twitter yelling at Dave Meltzer. He's just like right. going full Kanye on this.
Well, actually, because I just caught an update on that just before walking in here. Meltzer reported how at Monday Night Raw, like there was like a big meeting. Like once again, like Vince McMahon doubled down on the whole, there were mechanical issues. And
right.
Because let's face it, he PR-wise, he does not look good.
Oh,
not
yeah.
all of this.
Never.
At the very least, when you get on a plane and take off, and then nobody else, you know, all your employees can't get on a plane and take off either. Like, you definitely have to have a meeting where it's like, look, I didn't know that was going to happen. I right. apologize. You, at the very least, you have to apologize to your employees.
Well, yeah. it makes me think, though, too, like, how many planes does Vince have? Because I'm guessing Stephanie's got a plane. I'm guessing that Shane's got a plane. They couldn't have gone to go get them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what could have happened. Either way, Vince McMahon is looking like he deserted his team.
Yeah.
Right.
His workers in Saudi Arabia. Not a great PR situation. Meltzer also reported that, like, supposedly Rollins gave, like, a big rah-rah speech. I guess Meltzer has now come out and said, you know, his source had got it wrong, or he received bad information.
Right.
But at, you know, once again, you have top guys who are probably making insane money trying to, like, rally, you know, still at least you know, try and be like, no, everything was okay, everything's okay. And then you have, like, your mid-card and, like, lower-card guys going, like, I'm not making as much money as you mofos, so why am I risking my life just so you can get a paycheck?
Right.
Sorry. It's just no.
Seth's last tweet was saying his problem was that you're spreading complete lies. He keeps saying that Dave Meltzer is lying. He said, I gave no speech. I said nothing before, during, or after the meeting. So either your source is full of it, or either way, it's a bold-faced lie, and I kindly ask you to quit pushing it.
Okay, well, and Meltzer has come out since just before me coming into the room with mm-hmm. you all here today, has since, like, retracted that and has apologized.
Well, I don't really like Seth's Twitter presence anyway, because he's trying to be Becky and he can't.
Well, yeah. And yeah, he should just
shut his mouth.
Just yeah. step on back. Let the, you know, woman do her thing.
Yeah.
Because she's better at it than you, brother.
Much better.
Well, it seems like I said, the next time they decide to go over to Saudi Arabia, it'll be very interesting to see what kind of show they can put together. How many people are going to be like, no, I don't think I'm doing that. And it'll also be interesting going forward to see how everybody involved, every, you know, from Seth Rollins to Dave Meltzer to Vince McMahon, how all of the players going forward address the particular thing. It'd be interesting, what, like a year from now or something like that, when some of the lower card guys aren't on the roster anymore
right.
and inevitably do some kind of shoot interview.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for that crap to happen, because it's going to be glorious.
Yeah, well, in the last couple of years, it's been really fun to hear a bunch of people who were part of the Monday Night Wars back in like 99, 2000, 2001 do those shoot interviews and talk about some of the stuff. And I feel like that's going to be another interesting thing 5 to 10 years from now, is seeing all the people who are currently working in wrestling talk about what exactly is going on as we're living through it.
Well, you had, I think Jericho did the first Saudi show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, like, he had, like, went on his own podcast and just said, like, it was a nightmare. I told Vince, I am never doing this again. I don't care how much money you throw at me. And, of course, then he would later leave the company and join AEW. So, I mean, like, this has been a common thing. These shows have not gone on without controversy or without issue. And this is still going to continue to happen through to 2027.
It'll be interesting, too, way down the line, like talking like years and years in the future, of these podcasts that have been coming out, whether it's, you know, Corey's podcast, you've got
right.
Jericho's podcast, Bruce Pritchard, all these guys, if they will actually talk about what really happened in like maybe 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, well, it all depends on who's still working for Vince McMahon
who's
and who
still
isn't.
Alive. Let's
well,
be
and who,
honest,
yeah,
wrestling.
Who's still alive. That obviously, that's going to change with rosters and stuff, but mm-hmm. you never know. Sami Zayn could have a podcast later on.
I hope so. He's great.
He's great on the mic.
But on a lighter note, so SmackDown was good, huh?
SmackDown was great. SmackDown was fantastic. And then
says
Monday
the guy who was making depressive comments over here 20 minutes ago.
SmackDown was fantastic. If you have the opportunity to go and search it out on your cable system during On Demand or whatever like that, I highly recommend it. And AEW and NXT last week were also very fantastic. And we're on a Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to another good Wednesday of wrestling.
Well, it's the go-home show for AEW because Full Gear is this Saturday.
Right.
So, I mean, we have a lot of big matches at Full Gear, namely Cody versus Jericho for the AEW World Championship.
Right.
Isn't
Moxley and Omega fighting?
Moxley and Omega, yes. But going back to Cody and Jericho, that has the 60-minute time limit and the panel of three judges to where if it
Oh, goes, it's like a boxing match?
Yeah, to where if they run out of time, three judges, they haven't announced who the judges are going to be. We'll decide who won the match. So I'm sure that's gonna be like a further storyline, I imagine.
Right.
I mean, you don't announce a stipulation like that and not have it affect a storyline further down.
Right, you would
then
think
you find
so.
Out all the judges are from the inner circle.
Oh, right, yeah. They're either the inner circle or they're like Cody's buddies, like Diamond Dallas Page and
yeah.
MJF and stuff.
People that have connections within the two fighters.
Right, for sure. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And, Erica, I definitely wanted to have you in because over the weekend, New Japan Pro Wrestling had an event, too.
Oh, God. I mean, where to begin? I mean, Jericho, first of all, is going to be battling Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. Wrestle Kingdom, okay, so...
Wrestle Kingdom,
so,
I love
this. Wrestle Kingdom, let me explain.
Tell me all about Wrestle Kingdom, I'm in.
Wrestle Kingdom is basically the WrestleMania for New Japan. And what they're doing this time around, which I think is brilliant, they're splitting it up into two nights. They have so much action, they need two nights to do it.
Which is what they should do with WrestleMania already.
Exactly. Exactly. It's too long. The show with the pre with WrestleMania with the pre-show.
Give us
and
Saturday
the main card,
and Sunday.
It's an 8-hour show. I'm putting in a full shift to watch a show. That's exhausting.
Yeah.
This is why I got out of wrestling to begin with. They were asking for too much.
Right.
Like too time. Much time?
Just too much of my time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was when there was like a 2-hour show on Monday and a 2-hour show on Thursday and then sometimes a pay-per-view. Yeah.
Well, even on my peak of wrestling fandom, though, I was never as into it as all of you are.
Right.
So it was easier for me to walk away. But, yeah, no, it was just too much, and so I bailed. I do the same thing. Well, we've talked comic books. I do the same thing with when Marvel needs too much out of me.
Yep.
I jump ship on certain things.
That's all it takes is for you to – and nobody knows where that line is. But when you've crossed the Al Beck line, then he's out.
And I hold a grudge. I am a grumpy old man. Anyway, I interrupted you.
No, it's
Tell
fine.
Me about the Wrestling Kingdom.
Yeah. the Wrestle Kingdom. It's
Do they also have Orange Julius?
No, they do not have Orange Julius. I'm like, why?
She's
why?
Like, I don't have the energy.
They've got Cinnabon.
Oh my God.
Hey,
that is a hell of a name for a new wrestler.
Yeah.
Spell Sin with S-I-N.
Yeah.
They have a demon looking kind of face.
Cinnabon.
Going on.
You put maybe put a Y in there.
Cinnabon.
Yeah.
Dude, that could be your wrestling name.
I was just about to say
Sounds
that
like
could
a tag
be the
team.
New Bray Wyatt. The new Fiend.
Yeah, that feels like a tag team to me. Coming down to the ring. Weighing in at 560 pounds combined. Cinnabon. All right, Wrestle Kingdom.
So anyway, Wrestle Kingdom. So we're going to have Jericho versus Tanahashi.
Does Jericho still hold a title for the New Japan?
No.
Okay.
No, he's still...
I thought most of the AEW guys had vacated whatever New Japan titles they had.
Pretty much. Moxley probably would have still had the U.S. title, but there was issues with him getting to Japan to defend it. And, like, New Japan has a rule where if you're not... If you can't make your title defense, you are stripped of your title. And
okay.
So then they had to kind of go rogue and with a new storyline. Now Lance Archer holds the title.
Uh-oh.
Was that when he was
hey,
sick?
Hey, Robbie.
Hi.
Oh, house here, huh?
Yeah.
A little right. bit.
Y'all behaving yourselves?
Not at all.
Would you like an almond joy?
We're busy out here. We got a lot of work to do, so just keep it down, all
right? You got it, Dad.
No chance.
You sure you don't want an almond joy?
We'll be good.
I hate almond joys.
I think you should put the rest of that bag over here at his station.
He hasn't watched the stream yet, clearly.
That's clearly not.
Well, I expect a tweet later thanking me for cleaning up his area.
Right.
You know, with your mouth, because you ate them all.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Absolutely, I cleaned
so
up.
So, Wrestle
with
Kingdom, everybody.
With your mouth.
All right, Tickles, calm down.
I missed that part.
Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom. Okay,
Tickles
well,
is something Chuck does with his mustache.
Wrestle Kingdom.
I think his episode needs to be called, okay, Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay, Wrestle Kingdom now.
So, all right. Well, I mean, the event over the weekend was a power struggle. We already covered Jericho and Tanahashi.
Right.
Huzzah. The other big thing, which I freaked out about, Will Ospreay defeated Bushi for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. And after he won, Hiromu Takahashi returned, who is a member of LIJ. He's been out with a severe neck injury for about a year and a half.
And he's the guy that comes out with the stuffed cat.
Yes,
Daryl. Yes.
Yes. And, like, you know, the place went dark. Then there was just a bunch of stuff going on their Jumbotron, and then, like, a countdown clock. And then he emerged in his crazy-ass Technicolor suit and challenged Will Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom, and Ospreay accepted. And now they are trying to get the match to headline Night 2 of Wrestle Kingdom. Night 1 will be headlined by Kazuchika Okada and Kota Ibushi, who won the G1 and will face Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship belt. So it's Wrestle Kingdom shaping up to be real great, you guys, and I might be the only one around this table who cares.
And that's in
January. It's okay.
That's in January, right?
That isn't in January. It's traditionally it's always the it's always been like the 4th of January.
Okay.
No matter when, like, the 4th fell on. Like, if the 4th fell on a Tuesday, they're like, well, Wrestle Kingdom's on a Tuesday. But this year, because now it's 2 days, the 4th actually falls down a Saturday. 5th will be on a Sunday. So,
right.
Whole weekend. Oh, there's just, it's just a lot of, like, it's going to be like, that's the real Christmas in my home.
That's your Wrestle Christmas.
Yes. Right well, no, there. Just Christmas to each their own.
Oh, we have another?
America.
Hey, I thought we kicked y'all out.
No, we stuck back in.
No, every time you guys use the studio, stuff is broke.
What?
Missing.
Nurse,
right?
Would you like an almond joy?
I don't want anything.
Okay.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Okay, before you go, this outfit's outstanding. You
Thanks
look very nice.
So much.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
She can stay.
Damn
That's
straight
fair.
I can stay.
Next week on Nerd Radio, all Erica.
All Erica.
Yes.
Talking about Wrestle
Give
Kingdom.
The people what they want.
She's
just,
totally fine with it.
Yeah, just me going ham on New Japan stuff. They're like, okay, we can only take 10 minutes of this bitch. And then we're done.
Well, Erica, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Talking
as
about some wrestling for us. We'll definitely monitor the situation with the WWE as it continues. And
apparently also the Checkpoint XP situation.
I guess. Right. Yeah.
All right. We're coming back with a little bit more Nerd Radio. Remember, podcast listeners, you've got an interview with Yuri Lowenthal from YumaCon to look forward to in this episode. And we got a couple more things to talk about before I can let Al have his soup.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're a talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd. Now get it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Run for your life.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
All right, we're back with Nerd Radio. I almost said we're back with Checkpoint. We're in the Checkpoint studios, but we're broadcasting
for a limited time
Nerd
only.
Yeah, for a limited time only, because apparently they don't like us. It's Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James hanging out. Well, they like Erica. They don't like me. And you can, of course, find us on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. You can find us on Checkpoint Stream Wednesday afternoons at 11:30. And you can find us in Boston.
That's right. Rock929rocks.com.
All right. So something we talked about a couple of weeks ago is NBC's Peacock service.
Yeah.
Which we got a lot of really juvenile jokes out of. So I figured it was worth bringing back.
Well.
The news is that NBC originally was going to make that service. The plan was supposed to be free for Comcast subscribers.
Okay.
There was going to be a free version of it, and then you could, you know, subscribe to it just like your CBS All Access, something like that. The idea now...
Comcast, I believe, owns NBC.
They do.
Right.
The idea now, according to CNBC, is that they are going to have a free ad-supported version available to everybody.
Which is how Hulu started.
Yeah, it's going to be essentially how you can sign up for Hulu, and you can watch Hulu as much as you want, but you're going to get ads. But then there's also a version that you can pay for that gives you no ads whatsoever.
I would say that's reasonable. As far as like every channel wanting their own thing, that's
right.
The most reasonable way to do it.
I agree.
And also to circle back to a previous Nerd Rage moment of mine on the show, it does sound like HBO subscribers get access
to HBO Max.
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, because that was my whole thing. At the time, you figure... Well, I got to pay for HBO, and then I got to pay extra for this thing.
Right.
Well, I'm already paying $15. You know, your premium channels are like the original streaming service. You're paying extra money for this thing.
Right.
But it does. But it makes me wonder, because I get my HBO through Hulu. It might exclude me, but unless I actually like sign up through HBO Direct, I don't know. That I don't know. But
yeah, I guess it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Because I know that almost everybody, like Disney Plus, they've got some partnership with Verizon. They also partnered up with Hulu. Like you could get Hulu, Disney Plus, and I think ESPN.
Yes.
Which
are all Disney properties.
Right. And next week is when Disney Plus finally goes live.
All right.
Do you guys either of you guys have a thing that you're looking forward to? Like as soon as it goes live, I got to stream this thing.
I want to check out The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I think the trailers from what I've seen from that looks pretty sweet. The other stuff, I'll just click around, see
right.
what I can find to entertain myself. I'd love to see if I can find some of the old. Collections or anthologies of like old cartoons,
sure.
like Disney cartoons, like especially around the holidays. Like so, around Christmas time, they'd always put like a collection of different clips from different movies that revolve around Christmas or
right.
different like Christmas cartoons.
You remember when they used to like have the syndicated Wonderful World of Disney? Sometimes it'd be a live action movie. Sometimes it would be
yeah, like Sunday nights
like
usually
like,
on Sunday
yeah,
Sunday,
Sunday
evenings
nights.
On Channel 7. Or,
it would be cool if they've got those
on the channel. Yeah, like that's when you'd see like the was like Mr. Boogie. Like there's an old Boogeyman movie that I'd only seen
okay.
on Disney. Like there's different things that they'd put out that I probably would get like a huge nostalgia hit.
Yeah,
just watching if that's on there.
Right, Al, do you have anything that?
There's absolutely honestly, there's nothing coming to Disney Plus that I can't wait for.
Yeah,
like there's some cool stuff coming. Like The Mandalorian, out of all the stuff I've heard of, is probably the most interesting to me. But I don't feel like I have to watch it the moment it posts. If I don't have Disney Plus access right away, it's not going to bother me.
I saw like a trailer on my Facebook for that Lady and the Tramp movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The live action animated Lady and the Tramp. I think I kind of want to see that.
Yeah.
What about you, Amy? Is there anything on Disney Plus that you're like, I got to see that as soon as I got access?
I do want to see The Mandalorian. I also am just excited to have access to some movies that we don't already have on Blu-ray.
Yeah, stuff yeah. like Captain Marvel or...
Yeah, you know, things that like I didn't necessarily need a disc for, but really do enjoy.
Right.
I think that's pretty much it. Just anything Marvel would be great to just be able to log in and stream.
Right. Well, I've been saying for months now that, like, I got to watch me some X-Men animated series. They're going to have all those X-Men cartoons on there, like X-Men Evolution and stuff. And
they're going to have every single episode? Like, the one they would come on Fox, like, on Saturday morning?
Right.
Like, if that's there and I could see every episode, I would probably definitely watch that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Like,
that's how I got my X-Men education.
Yeah.
Was
well,
from the cartoon.
Much like my Seinfeld pilgrimage. I'm like, I would like to sit back and, like, just binge through the X-Men animated series in order. Because sometimes you would be watching on Saturday. Sometimes you wouldn't see it on Saturday because, like, you had a video game to play or something like that, yeah, as a kid. And then you would miss an episode and, like, would never see it.
I kind of wonder if they're going to have stuff like Darkwing Duck and everything,
yes,
on there, because I will totally watch me some Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, Darkwing Duck, I think DuckTales, all the Disney afternoon stuff should be.
Oh, DuckTales, I'm in.
Yeah. DuckTales.
Oh, hopefully it's the old, like the throwback,
yeah,
DuckTales.
It has to be
the new
one.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, no, that new one, that really, that upset me. That upset me that day.
All right, well, that's pretty much it for this week's Nerd Radio, unless you listen to the podcast, because there's the interview with Yuri Lowenthal and his wife from the Spider-Man PlayStation 4 game that I got to conduct over YumaCon. Amy, thanks for stopping in.
Of course.
Hanging out with us, as if I didn't make you come in here.
Yeah, you know.
Al, thanks for soldiering through.
Hey, don't grunt. You have soup.
In your sickness.
I do, yes.
And as always, James, thanks for running the cameras. Thanks for here for Nerd Radio. Thank you, Checkpoint XP, thank you, Empty Sheet. I just saw that in the chat, in the video preview. Thank you, Empty Seat, for being there. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Checkpoint XP, for having us. We'll be back with Nerd Radio next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, welcome me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
It's Chuck Bean for Nerd Radio out at YumaCon 2019. I'm sitting here with Yuri Lowenthal, who played Peter Parker in the Spider-Man PS4 game, and Tara Platt, who played Yuri Watanabe, the police officer in the same game. It's great to be here with you guys. How's your YumaCon experience been so far? I know it's just Saturday, but what do you think?
Well, I will tell you, YumaCon was our first convention that we ever attended 15 years ago.
And it
so
was
not
also
only
the
was
first
it, it was the first
YumaCon,
it? But
yeah,
it was the first convention we ever went to. So, mm-hmm. But we've actually been back.
How many years ago was that?
Well, that was 15 years ago. But we also came back 2 years ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago we came back to YumaCon. Mm-hmm. It was the first time we had come back.
Wow.
We love Detroit. Also, I went to high school in Chelsea, Michigan, so it's not that far away. It's near Ann Arbor.
Right, so we have free childcare, is what you're saying. Yes. The grandparents
are close.
So
now that we have a toddler, we have free childcare. Yeah. So that was helpful. But yeah, we love Detroit. And I'm really, really happy to see the city blooming. It was really sad to know everything that had been going on, you know, economically. Yeah. And so it's nice to sort of feel the vibrance of the city sort of coming back. And it's a great convention, and they do a great job with it. So it's nice to be asked back.
Yeah. I mean, to get to come back to the convention that was our first convention is amazing. And, you know, Morgan and the whole team here just run a really good show. And it's great to see how big the show has gotten since that very first time in that little hotel in Troy, Michigan, to, you know, spreading over hotels and a convention center.
Centers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here is has been a joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll always be happy to come back.
Cosplay is a huge part of YumaCon. Have you seen any of that have just blown you away?
Cosplay is some of my favorite.
Oh, what was that woman dressed up?
From Overwatch?
Yeah, from Overwatch with the gun.
I'm not very familiar with Overwatch, so I will not get the character right.
She was
but
amazing.
But she had the most.
It was the red armor and this cool.
Yeah,
like,
it was like this cabled gun that was very.
Laser gun thing.
That was super.
And everything was
it had Chinese
like, you could
characters
tell that
on
she
the,
had like cut things like out this, and like
yeah,
it was
yeah.
foam work and like it was just everything.
Like
was,
you could tell that the work that went into the costume it just took hours and hours.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And of course, it's always a delight when someone comes up dressed cosplaying as one of
that's
the characters.
Right.
You're like,
that's
oh,
that's
Tamari's. Yeah. But I mean, it's always nice to like that's fun.
Yeah.
Because they can pick any character they want. And
especially if it's like a really obscure character.
Yeah.
Because that's like
you know
double
they love
deep
it.
Fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Double deep. Did I just coin that phrase? I don't even know what that means. I'm just making it.
No, yeah.
You hear a lot of, you know, when actors go out to eat or they go out to the grocery store or something like that, they get identified. Do you guys get that? Do ever people ever, like, hear your voice and they're like, hey, I know you?
I mean, I kind of like the slight anonymity, the sort of walking around and people not knowing who we are. I'll say that it was funny. Our very first appearance at this con this year, they had us do the Maid Cafe. I don't know if you've been up to the Maid Cafe, but it's like a room where they're feeding you tea. And so our first thing on our first, like, we got off the plane, we got to the convention, and we were doing Maid Cafe, and we walked in, and we were like, what are we supposed to do? And they're like, it's just meet and greet. And we're like, oh, great. And they had a whole bunch of tables around the room. So we started on one side of the room. We went over to the table, and it was like 10 people sitting around the table, and we're like, hi, I'm Tara Platt, and this is Yuri Lowenthal. But I don't think they were expecting to hear our names. So they were sort of like, okay, because they were expecting a maid to come serve them. And we were are you enjoying your tea? And they were like, yeah, okay. So by like the time we got to the third table, there was a little bit of like a hubbub of like, oh, that's... But the first two tables straight up like didn't
like,
have
why
no
are you
idea
guys, who
what
are
we
you?
Were, like,
yeah.
And then later, then people from those tables were like, running over to us. And they're like, can we get a picture? Yeah, we can have a picture. But I thought that was kind of sweet because they didn't know who we were. They didn't know what we looked like. And even though we said our names, it was sort of out of context. So yeah.
No, I mean, we have friends who are like TV, you know, people, and they get stopped all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of nice not to, you know, to
just slip right by.
Yeah.
Do you have the reverse happen to you, where somebody will hear your voice while you're out somewhere and be like, hey, that's the guy, or hey, I know that voice?
I think it's more people recognize the name sometimes. Like, you've been at a movie theater and, you know, you're doing something and then you...
I handed my credit card or whatever.
And they'll be like, wait, the Yuri Lowenthal?
That guy?
Right. That happens more often than the voice thing.
Yeah.
I think the only time that happened, it was somebody who was actually working on the Spider-Man game from Insomniac, was also at Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah. And he came over because he was
like,
wait, I know that
voice. But it's because he'd been listening to my voice over. He was one of the audio guys on it. So,
and he had been hearing us for months, of course.
Yeah, right.
And I was saying something like, well, can you do this, Yuri, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, wait, Yuri? Like, he just had to. It was really adorable. Yeah. Oh, but that has happened to you on the phone sometimes with, like, people from companies.
Like, yeah, you'll call it, like the gas company. And they won't recognize the voice.
No, but
I'll
did.
Say the
that
name.
One guy recognized your voice even before you said your name to sign in. He was like, is this, are you Yuri Lowenthal? You're like, yes, I am.
It's a weird sort of fame, I'm not going to lie.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Going back to the Spider-Man game,
mm-hmm.
obviously it's a pretty big time for Spider-Man with Tom Holland being in the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Spider-Verse.
Right. Oh, what kind of voice direction did they lay down for you?
Do as it far good. As,
well, right.
It's better than Tom Holland. No, they said...
were they like, do you look into these particular things? Or were they like, we want you to do your own version?
Insomniac wanted their Spider-Man. But because they're all huge Spider-Man fans over there, they... I knew they weren't going to, you know, lead me astray. And they weren't trying to do something so weird and different.
Sure.
Because they love the character so much. But they did want, you know, they didn't want to go like Tom Holland because Tom Holland was too young for their Spider-Man. Like, they wanted 8 years of Spider-Maning under his belt.
Yes.
And
the
so,
weathered Spider-Man.
Right, the slightly wizened 23-year-old Spider-Man. So we worked a little bit to craft that, and we went higher and we went lower and we went a little more gravelly, a little less gravelly, and we finally dialed it into what they were looking for. And I don't know who exactly they were talking to over at Marvel, but once Brian Attar came to a session and he said, hey, this doesn't matter, but this doesn't mean anything, but I want you to know that I was talking to somebody over at Marvel and they heard some of your tracks, and they're like, this guy sounds like Tom Holland 8 years later. And I was like, yes. hopefully that'll lock it in even more. We didn't model it off of a particular Spider-Man that had come before.
Sure.
But I'm sure because...
I just think they should put Tom Holland and you in something together.
Yeah, if they're doing a second Spider-Verse, you can get the PS4 Spider-Man and maybe the Tom Holland
teased,
in there.
And they teased the our suit in the movie.
If you have a Pina, you can see it when they have the...
Yeah, and then the last they paid homage to our game in Far From Home as well. So like, clearly somebody likes the game
for sure.
Who's making that other stuff?
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Do you have a preference when it comes to either video games or animation?
Now, they're both you know, we both get to do cool things on either side. I mean, it's nice in animation that we sometimes get to do group reads.
For original animation.
Yeah, for original animation, yeah. That you would have a lot of actors in a room and we get to play off each other.
But now with video games, with so much performance capture, yeah. You're getting that opportunity. Because it used to be, well, video games, you're going to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was that little mm-hmm. hierarchy of like, well, at least when I'm doing original animation, I'm with the other actors and that's fun. But now with video games, you're still doing a lot of the work by yourself, mm-hmm. but then when you have the performance capture days, you get to go and play with the other actors.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah. Like, we got to, yeah, the rooftop scene between Yuri Watanabe and Spider-Man and some excellent. Of the other stuff.
Yeah.
We were both there, acting with each other. When, you know, all the stuff with Otto and the stuff with May, and, you know, those scenes, I think, are as heightened and as dramatic and as truthful mm-hmm. as they are. Because it was actors working off each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get that give and take. It wasn't just somebody records their part in isolation.
Right. But that's a testament to where video games are going and where they've... I mean, like, honestly, video games are making more money than Hollywood films these days. So, like, Hollywood's a little like, wait, what? Video games, huh? Because, like, it's becoming as far as... what do you call it? Like a model, yeah. But, I mean, like, it's just becoming...
Yeah.
So much content, like as a content base, I guess I'm doing a terrible job with this. As a medium, thank you.
Right.
And it's generating more financial income for them. So there's a little bit of like, oh, we have to pay attention to this. It's becoming this.
Like, how do we make more movies more like video games, or video games more like movies?
So how do we sort of duck?
Yeah, it's a tough line. Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Are there any characters that going into the future that you'd really really like to play?
I'd love to play Moon Knight. Someday, my voice is not like I've always loved Batman. Like, I've always wanted to play Batman or Moon Knight. But I will always play like the sidekick. Like, I'll always play Robin. My voice is much more suited to like Robin as opposed to Batman. But we will, we'll keep going.
Yeah,
on
but
that.
Moon
we'll,
Knight
we'll
keep pushing. Would be fun for you.
Moon Knight would be super cool. I mean, Moon Knight was basically Marvel's Batman, but even weirder and more interesting in some ways. I think finally, and nobody had heard of him. If I think finally it's happening, I think Marvel's doing a Moon Knight show, so which I will be first in line to see, because I've been waiting years for that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we actually created a series, and if we ever made that into an animated form,
oh, that would be more Topsy McGee.
Topsy McGee would be pretty cool. She's like a steampunk heroine.
Yeah.
And so of course I'd be like, yep,
yeah, you can find
that.
If you look up the short film we did online, you can check out Topsy McGee versus the Sky Pirates. It's live action, but it was super fun.
How do you try and make sure that your characters feel different from project to project?
You know, I'm glad that people do see a difference between those characters, because, you know, you don't want people to be saying, oh, every character sounds exactly the same. But you know, the difference comes from the writing and the story and the context. And so I think even if I have characters that, if you just put them sort of side by side and just listen to them, they would sound very similar. The characters themselves are different because, you know, the writing is different, the projects are different, what's important about that character for that game or that show is different. So I obsess a lot less than I thought I would about, oh no, I got to make this character sound different, and just trust that the writing and the context and the character design, you know, will differentiate the character enough for it. So I'm glad that's working so far.
But it's also hard because they usually cast you because they know you have certain vocal qualities.
Right.
So you find a lot of times, I get, like for me, and I know this happens to you too, you get cast as certain vocal signatures.
Right.
Because they know that that's what you can do.
Yeah, like you play these strong women.
I play strong
like
women, so a lot of my,
yeah.
They sounded like very similar because mm-hmm. they have a similar timbre.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's about the POV of the character, changes it up mm-hmm. a little bit, but it's so much fun when you get a chance, like for example, in the Persona series and games, I play Mitsuru, but I also play Elizabeth, and so that's really fun for me because the vocal signature is completely different, and people are often surprised. They'll know that I play Mitsuru, and they're like, oh yeah, you play Mitsuru, and then I'll say something about Elizabeth, and they're like, that was you? And like, they don't expect that because it's outside of the area of what they expect to hear from the voice, and I know that happens mm-hmm. to you too, and that's always fun as an actor.
Yeah.
You don't want to play all your roles on the outside.
It must feel like a victory.
It's a victory.
It does sort of. When you fool people, like I want people to recognize my voice, of course, but I equally love when I fool people. And
you
want
to get the chance to do that because oftentimes the producing team is saying, I
play a lot of, you know, teenage male, you know, heroes. And to get to come back on Ben 10 for this recent incarnation of Ben 10 and not play Ben but play Vilgax, you know, the sort of the ultimate villain, it has been such a joy.
Do you have any advice for somebody who's going into voice acting or developing a project?
If you are developing your own projects, make whatever you can. Don't go, oh, well, I don't have $100 million to put into R&D to make a video game that, you know, AAA video game. Make a short film with your friends, or you do a play, or, you know, find a friend who likes, you know, coding and do a simple, you know, get together and work it out and do, you know, like a tablet game, something really simple. Write a short story, you know, and then if you really like where that's going, then take it to somebody who knows more about something. Don't wait.
Yeah.
And don't wait for that perfect thing, you know, that vision in your head.
Yeah.
Start now and do it. And definitely don't listen to that voice in your head of, well, I'm not good enough, or this isn't good enough. Do it.
Finish.
Finish it. Let it suck, because the next you're going to learn on that one, and then the next one's going to be better, and then the one after that will suck a little less, and the one after that. But you can't get to that really good one if you don't make a lot of stuff that sucks.
Yeah, try to be sucky.
In a good way. Like, in a good way. Try to suck. Fail.
No, but
fail harder.
Fail harder. Yeah. Fail big, but keep failing, because if you fail, that means you did it.
Yeah.
So, like, do it. Like, get out there and do it. I mean, I don't want to be Nike, but, like, get out there and do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I was just going to toot our own horn a little bit. But if it is specifically for people trying to get into voiceover, we did write a book on voiceover, and we just came out with a second edition 10 years after we wrote the first one. And the second one has a workbook that's included with it, and it includes things like performance capture, which the first one didn't, because we weren't doing as much performance capture.
10 years ago, that was not as big a deal.
So we did that. It's called Voiceover Voice Actor, the extended edition, because it's extended.
Yeah.
But I would just say, take classes. Make sure you like acting. If you're a creator, make sure you enjoy the creative process. You have to make sure that what you're trying to put your passion into is something that's actually going to fill you up, because you may not get those big checks right away or ever. You may not, you know, like, you have to make sure that what you're doing is going to be fulfilling for the sake of doing it, not because you're looking for accolades, not because you're looking for something else. And then once again, like Yuri said, finish. Because finish, done is good enough. And then move on to the next one, and move on to the next one. Because
and done
each
is the
of those,
engine of more.
Yeah, each one becomes a like a foundation or a stepping stone for the very next thing. And suddenly you look back and you'll have books and you'll have movies and you'll have things that you've created, and you're a creator, and that's what you are and that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that defines you, and that shows you your own mettle, and it shows you who you are in the world. Because life is really short, you know? I mean, like, it goes really, really fast. And if you spend your whole time looking ahead, wishing and hoping, you're never going to get there. You're only going to be where you are at the time that you are there. So do the things now, because you don't know what is tomorrow.
Yeah, and build your team, because a lot of the stuff, it's hard to do
alone,
you know, by yourself. Because there are so many different parts
to it.
Ask
for help.
So ask for help. Put that team together. You were like, I want to, you know, I'm really good at design and art, but I suck at writing.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you know somebody who loves to write and would love to team up with you on that.
And
if you don't know
people.
Them, if you don't know them personally, go to the internet, you know, and use it as a resource. God, use the internet for something good, for the love of God. I mean, you can start now.
Start today.
All right.
Cool.
Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
Putting all them joys.
Well, we saw maybe two of those drop.
I'm
gonna try to
you.
Drop them right onto Al's
I like. Board. I like.
I warned
that,
you what would happen if you did that while I was still sitting here.
I like that Al looked
here,
like
you
a hype.
You want another one?
Yeah, why not?
Like, he was just like nodding, like
yeah.
Almond joys
all day, every day.
I'm really going to end up eating all these Almond Joys.
Well, damn it. Now there really is going to be wrappers everywhere.
Well, I'm cleaning up my wrappers. I don't
Me
want that
too,
smoke.
Almond Joy update.
Oh, no.
You dropped five of them here.
Yeah.
Two of them are not within my reach. Three of them are gone.
Somebody get Al an old man reaching stick.
Good God,
yeah,
sir.
We need one of those little grabby things from the dollar store. Yeah.
Also, before we start this next segment, you want to do me a favor and flick one of those Almond Joys over the
Wow. Don't do it. Al has...
Oh, no!
Al has already eaten three of them.
Well, here's the thing. I'm having this other one because it's right here. Get out of the chair, Al.
Oh, did it fall, Al? You need to pick it up for you?
Out of the chair.
Al, it's right
there. She threw a candy bar at a blind man and it fell on the floor.
Put it on the group shot so we can watch it bend over and pick it up.
Wow, and I thought my self-control was awful.
You ate an entire pizza. He ate four pieces of candy. There's a difference.
Right, I'm 12.
today on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.